Everybody say amen. Nobody should exclude themselves from saying amen this morning. Because God has been good to us once again. He has blessed us. And if you don't think you're blessed, just ask somebody who doesn't even have a place, a roof over their heads, who didn't have a roof over their heads last night. Ask someone who has not had breakfast for their stomachs this morning. Ask someone who may not even have shoes to put on their feet. Just ask someone and then you'll see how blessed you really are. God has been good to us and God has allowed us to be able to be in the land of the living once again. And we ought to be eternally grateful for that. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. And it's an old familiar story, an old familiar text that you've heard probably 100 times before, if you've been in the church any length of time. And you probably know it better than I know it. But nevertheless, we're going to go to it again. Because God's Word is never at a wrong time. There never is a wrong time to present God's Word. So this morning, before we go any further, let us just take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, You have blessed us this morning, and I know we are blessed because we are here this morning, O Lord. Father, they changed the clocks, but You didn't change our bodies yet. And we know one day our bodies shall be changed, but right now You have given us another opportunity that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You this morning, Father, for this, the Church of Christ, that spreads the light out in a dark world. We thank You this morning, O Lord. We come praying this morning because we owe You so much gratitude, O Heavenly Father, that all we can do is say thank You. I thank You this morning, Father, that we this morning are able to call out Thy name. And I thank You that we live in a country this morning where we are able to do that without fear of reprisal from the government, O Lord. I thank You this morning, Father, now that the politics are all behind us, now that the world is still here, even though the party that should have won didn't win, according to the statistics. But nevertheless, Father, we are all still here. I thank You, Father, this morning for being here with us. And I pray for those who are in the attendance in the audience this morning. I pray especially for our leaders this morning, Father, that they may gain strength and that their families may be strength behind them. I pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who have taken part in the services thus far, and for their families also. And I pray for those who shall come from this point on and their families also. Father, I thank You that there are sick folk in the church, but nevertheless, some of us are doing better than others. And I pray for those who may not be here because of illness. I pray that if it be Your will, O Lord, that You would give them the strength they need to return at the appointed time when You say so, O Lord. I thank You this morning, Father, for those who are without this morning. And I pray for their well-being this morning. And I pray, O Lord, for and thank You for this weather that You have sent our way. We're in November, and many of us are still walking around without heavy coats on, and that's a blessing in itself. I thank You this morning, Father, for this church here, this local congregation. And I pray for each and every member in here this morning. And I pray, Father, that You would be with us this morning as we continue through Thy services. This morning, if the things that we have done and so far and the things that we shall do shall be found faithful in Thy sight, I pray that it be acceptable unto You, O Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, and I pray this morning, Lord, for the parents who are raising their children, for the husbands, for the wives, and for those who are doing it alone, O Heavenly Father, I pray for their strength and their willingness to keep on going. Then, my Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are in leadership positions all over this world, that they may not do anything that would be contrary, O Lord, to what Your word, which has been given to us already. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who serve in the armed forces all over this world, those who are in the quote-unquote hot spots of this world. Be with them and their families as well. Now, my Heavenly Father, when we have done all that we can do, O Lord, when it's our time to be called, when you take us home, O Heavenly Father, I pray that it be with thee in the name of your Son, Jesus, because he went on the hill, died on the cross. We have this opportunity to come to him right now. As I thank you, O Heavenly Father, in the name of his name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This morning, again, from that 15th chapter of the book of Luke, Brother Paul started with verse number 11. We're going to start a little bit further down, but nevertheless, the same scripture, the same text. This morning, I want to talk about a son's homecoming. A son's homecoming. In this very familiar text, we find a classic example which shows the willingness of the Father to accept us back after we have turned our backs on him. Today, we live in a world torn apart by disaster and despair. We not only see natural disasters, but we see man-made disasters as well. We see people treating each other with such hatred and rejection, and it just seems that no one cares about anyone else today. Parents are rejecting their children, spouses turning against their mates, and of all people are turning against God. The bright spot in this whole mess today, in this whole big mess that we live in, is that God still knows all about it, and he still has the abilities to answer prayer. For those who think that God doesn't answer prayer, maybe it's because you haven't asked him lately. Maybe you haven't gotten down on your knees and called out the name of the Lord. Maybe you need to ask God for whatever it is that you feel that God hasn't answered for you. In the case this morning, we find the story of a man realizing his faults and then having not simply a change of mind, but rather a change of heart, repentance, if you will. So when we look at this man, he realized where he was. The first thing we have to come to grips with is our physical conditions and our surroundings. First, let me ask the question that some of you may not know what I'm talking about. But let me ask the question anyhow. How many of you have ever seen or ever been to a real live pig pen? You don't raise your hand. But nevertheless, if you have never been there, I'll tell you, it's not pretty. I'll tell you, it's not something where you want to find yourself in. But this young man in our text today, he found himself in the midst of a pig pen. He signed up to be a pig feeder in verse number 15 of the text. But he found out that sometimes whatever troubles you are having, they can multiply themselves. He found out not only did he want to feed the pig, he was supposed to feed the pigs, but he thought that maybe he would get a bite of the pig's dinner himself. I don't want you to get the wrong impression this morning. I don't want you to think that this man was a person that was without, but he was without, but I don't want you to think that he didn't have another choice in life. But he had found himself in a position where he needed to eat something. Sometimes folk don't understand what they're getting into until it's way too late. Do you remember what happened to David in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter? He got up one evening, took a walk up on his rooftop. Saw something that he wasn't supposed to see. He saw a beautiful woman, but she wasn't his. Yet he inquired about her. He not only asked who she was, but he wound up laying with her, and she became pregnant. Now, just in case somebody don't understand the logistics there, meet me at the back door, and I'll explain to you what happened. But just in case you don't understand the details, just in case the details are not clear, David committed a sin, in other words. That's the bottom line. And if anybody doesn't understand that when you go off the deep end, you sometimes find yourself in so much trouble that you have to cover up one sin with another sin. You find yourself too deep to get out. You find yourself that you have put yourself in a position that it's too much for you to handle by yourself. Here the prodigal son realizes his fault because the word says in verse number 16, look at verse number 16. Verse number 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Sometimes when you're in trouble, folk won't help you. Sometimes when you're in trouble, the only choice that you have is to go back to God or go to God. How much shame and humiliation and how much troubles this man had. How much shame, humiliation, and trouble shall one endure before coming to realize how wonderful God is. God is wonderful, church, and God is good to all of us, church. So this man was in a position that he was feeding the pigs. But he found out that the pig food looked really enticing to him. It was a feeling that no longer is this food just for the pigs, but I need to eat something. You know, when you get yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in deep trouble, when you find yourself in a world of trouble, you need some help. And sometimes people, again, won't help you. And you have to realize to yourself that all I can do is ask the Lord to help me. He realized where he was. Have you asked God to put your feet on solid ground? If you realize, what is your pig pen at today? Are you in a pig pen, but maybe you're not in a physical pig pen, but you may be in a pig pen just the same. But then when you consider the fact of this young man, realizing where he was at, look at verse number 17, if you will. And when he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Have you asked God to grant you what it is that you need this morning? Have you asked God, have you prayed? And there are always those who say, well, I don't really have anything to pray about this morning. God hasn't granted me the last prayer that I asked Him. Maybe you need to ask Him again. Maybe you need to go back to Him, and maybe you need to have faith in the prayer that you're praying and faith in God when you pray to Him that He can and that He will and that He is able to answer prayer. You see, if you go to Him and say, I know He's not going to answer me anyway because I've been to Him before, then He probably won't answer your prayer. But if you take your time and ask God in faith, God is willing and able to answer. Not only did this young man realized what was going on, but he also realized where he needed to be. After one comes to him or herself, the next step is determine what one needs to do to get back in a good position. Look at verse 17. And when he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. But then in verse number 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Where do you need to be this morning? In this biblical drama, we find that the son finally realized where life had landed him. He realized no matter where he had been, no matter what he had done, none of us can beat God in giving to us. None of us can beat God's goodness toward us. No matter if you've been to a faraway country or you're guilty or standing a guilty distance from God's grace, we can find ourselves far away from God, not because God moved, but because we did. Isn't that right, church? Do you remember in the book of Jonah where God had instructed Jonah in the very first chapter of the book of Jonah, He instructed Jonah to go and preach at Nineveh. But Jonah instead decided, I'm going to go on a cruise to Joppa. And he boarded a ship. But I got news for Jonah this morning. And if I had been back there, I would have told him the same thing. God knows where you are. No matter where you go, no matter how fast you go, God knows where we are at all times. We can't hide from Him. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 3? Where Adam and Eve had ate of the forbidden fruit and they tried to hide themselves from God. You can't hide sin. You cannot hide sin. You cannot hide from God. After they had ate the forbidden fruit, when they tried to hide themselves, but you see, God already knew their faults and He knew where they were at. So when you are guilty of a misstep, as some of us like to call it, when you are guilty of a misstep, we must repent in order to come back to God. Now, this young man in this story found himself in the position of realizing his dilemma. And he decided to do what he needed to do, and that was to change his mind. And of all places, he changed his mind in a pig pen. Repentance can come anytime and anywhere. It was in Acts chapter 9 where Saul was converted around about verse number 6. He asked the Lord, "What will thou have me to do, O Lord?" That's when God instructed him to arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. But in Luke chapter 15 here, this man already knew what he needed to do. And notice again, verse number 18, where he states what he needs to do. He said, "I will." He was going to do this by himself. He said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." I tell you something, church. Until you go to God, you're never going to get yourself out of what you may be in, especially if you are in a pit, especially if you're so far down that you can only look up and see the ground. When you are so far down that the bottom of the world seems like the best place you've ever seen, then you're in trouble. So then, in James chapter 10, chapter 4 and verse number 10, I should say, the Bible says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." This young man was definitely in need of being lifted up. One cannot go much lower than that of being hungry and in a pig pen. So when you think about it, church, he left his father's house to be free, but he returned willing to be a servant. Life has a way of humbling all of us if we allow God into our life. His father, the Bible says, saw him a ways off and had compassion on him. You know, and somebody may say, "Well, preacher, what is compassion?" Well, compassion means to be gentle. It can also be translated to mercy. And we know that God is full of both mercy and compassion. Isn't that right, church? In Psalms number 103 and verse number 11, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward us," toward them that fear Him, I should say. And then in Psalms 111 and verse number 4, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." You know something? Some of us don't know how to be compassionate. And I'm not talking about anybody in the audience this morning. I'm just saying, some of us don't understand compassion. And until you understand compassion, you can't understand what's going on here. You've got to understand that I've got to be good to folk. I've got to help folk when they're in need. I've got to show them the love that God has put in my heart. But you've got to have it in your heart. Notice with this compassion, the father's compassion I speak of right now. The father ran to him, to his son. His son was coming home. The love of God is available to all who will seek it. And the son confessed to his father. Look at verse number 21. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." No more worthy to be called thy son. But then look at verse number 22. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Now I tell you, the son confessed to his father. And so how did the father react? Well, he answered that in verse number 22. And unlike some folk in the church house who like to put a person on trial when they make a confession, they like to say, "Well, I don't believe the sincerity of his confession." They began to question that person's intellect. They began to question that person's sincerity. They make light of one's confession and second guess what the person may have done. That's not how it's supposed to be when someone comes home and comes back to the church and asks for prayer. Don't ask them what they're doing. Just pray for them because that's what they want you to do. That's between them and God, whatever they've done. But we like to say, well, I don't believe his confession. I don't believe that he's going to do any better. He'll probably be standing up there again Sunday after next, if not next Sunday. But I tell you something about that, church. We don't have any right to judge that person. We don't have any right to question that person's confession. That's what the Father did in verse 22. He told the servants, he said, not just bring forth a robe, but bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And then put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, don't ask me if he had any shoes before he got there. The Bible just said he was told to bring, he told the servant to bring the shoes and put them on his feet. The blood of Christ washed away our sins at Calvary. And the question I need to ask you this morning is, have you been washed in the blood for the remission of your own sin? And then he put a ring on his finger and the shoes on his feet. And then he told the servant. Oh, I like what he told the servant next. He told the servants in verse number 23, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Oh, it was party time then. It was party time. When a child of God comes home, we ought to be so joyful. We must remember what the text says in verse number 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. When they come back to church, don't run them back out. Don't run them away. You know, there are some folk who would confess if they think nobody would question them. There are some folk who would confess if they didn't have to deal with the looks and the stares of somebody who's going to be staring them down. They would confess because they know they need to confess. But they won't because somebody in the audience, somebody in the church building is not going to let it go. So what is the lesson for us today? It's simple. If you're on the wrong path, it's time for your homecoming. And I'm trying to do a 15-minute sermon in 30 minutes. And if that'll work, that'll be all right. I'm trying to get through with this, but I got just a slight more to go, and I'm almost home. Though you remember the prodigal son as he left home for the party life, but he ran into nothing but misery. He missed the merry life he wanted, but instead all he found was misery. When you wind up in a pig pen, that's misery in itself with a capital M. He came home wanting a piece of bread, but he was given a feast instead. God is able to turn your search for the good life into life everlasting. So when you reach out to your Heavenly Father, he'll accept you back. But you have to be willing to come back. God is not going to take you back unless you come back. And that's what this story is all about. He came back. It was a homecoming, if you will. A son's homecoming. Because he had left home willing to spend and go through everything he had. Because he went for the high life, I guess. Remember, only you can decide your life's direction. Remember the day when God, there will come a day when God shall come to call upon you. And when he calls upon you, you have no more opportunity to say, I'm going to change my life. So when you decide, you must decide for yourself. Would you rather walk with Satan or sit with the Lord? Would you rather party with the party folk or be at peace with God? I'd rather be at peace with God than to be partying with the party folks. Would you rather party in your life or be at peace in the everlasting life? Let us remember that this homecoming, let us continue here in this homecoming. My time is up, but I'm going to take just another minute here. Look at verse number 28. These are the kind of folk that some folk are in the church. Verse number 28. And he was angry. Now this is about the other son. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore he came to his father and entreated him. He spoke to his father, in other words. And answering said to his father, all these years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with his friend. Oh, some folks are just so jealous. Some folks are just so envious. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots. Oh, he had a good time according to this man. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, now this is a father's logic here. This is a father's love here. He said unto his son, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I had is thine. In other words, church, you need to be reaching out to those who are lost. You need to consider, if you will, helping to save the lost. You need to consider, if you will, that there is somebody out there this morning that needs God in their lives. There's somebody out there. And you know what? Unfortunately, that somebody may be in your own house. There's somebody out there that needs to be taught of the Lord. There's somebody out there that needs to come home. And you know, there's two ways you can go home. You can go home as saved or unsaved, or a believer or a non-believer. I think I'd rather go as a saved believer. I think I'd rather go meet God one day, and God is going, I want to meet him in peace. Now, am I a perfect individual? No, I'm not. Do I have faults? Yes, I do. Do you? Yes, you do. Have you been straight all your life? No, you haven't been. Neither have I. But I remember there was a time in my life that I was different than what I am now. Being different than what you are now is a good thing, especially if you're working for the Lord now. You see, because when you used to be different, that's when you didn't work for the Lord and you worked for guess who? You say, well, I wasn't with the devil. But yes, you were. You're either for God or you're against him. And the Bible said those who don't believe, they are what? They are fools. And so I was a fool at one time. I was a fool because the things that were more important to me was anything other than going to the church house. I'd come to your house, but I wouldn't go to the church house. And there's something that I found out later on in life. I found out that all the things that I had done my way wasn't working for me. But I decided that maybe it's better if I try it the Lord's way. That's what this young man came to his senses about. He said, this is not working. I'm going home. I'm going to go see my father. I had money at one time, but now it's gone. And here I am in the midst of the pig pen, ready to eat the gourmet dinner that they're about to eat, and it's not fit for human consumption. If you've ever seen what they call slop. Brother Lewis is probably smiling right about now because he knows what I'm talking about. And some of the rest of you probably do too, but you might not admit it. But he wanted to fill up on slop. And slop is not pretty. It means it's what you had in your house and you raked out of your plate when you got finished along with the other folks' plate that went into the garbage. And it's, you don't want to know about it. It might turn you against eating pork chops and ribs. But I tell you something. Until you come to God, you don't realize how good your life can be. Until you come to God, you are not going to find yourself.
Oh, this young man found himself. I don't know how much searching he had done because the Bible doesn't tell us how many years he was out there. But when he came to himself, that means he found himself. He had been looking, I guess, and he came to himself. And he realized what his father had at home. Do you realize what God has for us if we but just go to him or come to him? So back to me. I came back to him. I came back to him because I realized that I couldn't make it on my own. Every time I got a few dollars in my pocket, it slipped right through my fingers. Every time I thought I was living, I wasn't living. I was really dying. Every time I thought I had things under control, I lost control. And if you don't know, if you don't understand just how great God, how good God can be, just look around you. When you woke up this morning, who do you think woke you up? You didn't get up on your own. God woke you up. And I know what they say, the time has changed, and you probably woke up early this morning. Time changed on us. Well, it's going to change again on us. But God is still alive and well and doing all for us that we ask of him to do if we live righteously by him. So this young man said to himself, I'm going to go to my father's house. And I'm going to be willing to be a servant. I once had everything, but I blew it all. But I'm willing to be a servant now. If you just give me a piece of bread, I'll become his servant. If he just allows me to come back home, I'll be a servant. I have a willingness to serve, to be a servant now. But the Father accepted him back. If we've stepped on each other's toe, if we've crossed each other and made one another angry, first of all, let's ask each other's forgiveness. And then let's ask God first to forgive us, and then let's ask one another to forgive us, that we may come together. Let there be no strife between brothers. So if you are not a member of the Lord's body this morning, you can come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. It's cool outside, but we'll still baptize you. Brother Jackson will do it for us. If you are a member, but you've walked astray, and believe it or not, church folk do walk astray. If you walked astray, you can ask God to forgive you and then come back home and come to the front of the church and ask the church to pray for you. Now, in this church, I believe that somebody's prayer will get through to God. Now, I don't know whose prayer will get through, but I just believe somebody's prayer will get through to the Lord. You ask the Lord to forgive you first of all, and then come forward and ask the church. And don't be ashamed to come forward. And if you are ashamed and want some help to come down, I'll meet you on the edge down here. And we'll come down together. Because God is good. And you can come back home as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Hymn 454. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.